Welcome, everybody, to episode 28 of SMY.TV's Meet the Mets cast. Rob Brender with Matt Cerrone and Steve Hofstetter. It's sort of our first, maybe second postseason edition for this show. And by postseason, I mean not just because the postseason itself is actually going on, but it's postseason. It's after the season for the Mets. And the main topic right now that's floating around the Mets community that the fans want to get some resolution from is who's the next manager going to be? I think that's kind of the hot button topic. So we're going to get into that one before we take off into some stuff about Las Vegas today and the team leaving Las Vegas. Huh? How about that? Come either this offseason or next. And we'll also talk a little bit about the actual playoffs themselves because they've been really exciting. So, guys, as far as the Mets managerial opening goes, it looked for all the world like the Mets were going to have the most desirable of the openings this offseason. And now all of a sudden, John Farrell has been fired as the Red Sox manager. And at least to me, and I think to most people in the baseball community, that now is really the top job that's open. They have a great team, a team that just won back-to-back division titles, has tons of talent already on the roster. It's Boston, it's Fenway Park, all those things. So for a manager, I would think, or a guy that wants to become a manager this upcoming season, that probably is the most desirable spot. That said, Matt, what do you think that does for the Mets search? Because now maybe the Brad Ausmuses of the world and maybe even Alex Cora's, there could be some more competition now for the Mets if they were interested in those specific guys.
I would think the Mets would be the top one, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's all about fit. You know, we've talked about this. We don't need to go crazy with it, but I mean, it ultimately, it's like a marriage, you know? So like, I don't know, whatever fits with Sandy and what they're wanting to do and, you know, fits with the other teams. Like, I think it's hard to really kind of handicap it that way because you don't really know. And I mean, look, the fact of the matter is it's New York City, you know, it's a top media thing. Like, it's going to be attractive to certain people and it's not going to be to others. And I just think that's ultimately what it comes down to.
All right, Steve, if you had your choice right now, who would you want to be the next Mets manager?
Wait, before we go into that, I want to make a point that I have never seen anybody else make, which is, when it comes to what job you want as a manager, like in terms of most desirable vacancy, on one hand, there's the whole, you know, okay, well, if I manage the Red Sox, maybe we can win the World Series next year. On the other hand, if you don't, goodbye job. There's no job security in a team with a lot of expectations. And so, you know, when you look at, and obviously it's different from owner to owner and city to city, but when you look at, I mean, the fact that Terry Collins became the Mets' most tenured manager, it's because when he started, there were no expectations. And the fact that Davey Johnson was not their most tenured manager, it's because he had a slight stumble, and that was enough to fire him despite a World Series. So I think that right now the Mets, depending on whether or not the candidate knows this, I think the Mets could be a more desirable vacancy.
Wow. I completely disagree. I hear what you're saying. I disagree with it for a couple of reasons. Number one, what I said before, it's Boston. It's almost as big a media market as New York. I mean, it's a huge media market. And they love the Red Sox. And yes, I agree with you that the expectations are skyrocket high. But the talent on that roster is capable of putting you at the level of meeting those expectations. And it's an organization that's willing to spend every year because they want to win as badly as the fans want to win. Whereas the Mets, obviously, we've seen in the past, they don't want to spend. So whether they're in New York or anywhere else. So that separates it for me. So I'd much rather wind up with a team right now that has a lot of talent if I'm a manager coming in. But I do see what you're saying. Yes, if you don't meet those expectations, it might be a very short run. So all that said, who would you pick right now for Mets manager? Who do you think is the top candidate, or who do you think would deserve the job the most?
And I know this is a ridiculous thing to say, but I don't think any of us are qualified to make that decision because we don't know who the clubhouse guys are.
Right. Well, if you were the GM.
For me, I am looking for a clubhouse guy that is willing to listen to stats guys. You don't have to be both, but you have to be. You can't look at sabermetrics and be like, oh, well, that new mumbo jumbo. It's like, really, it's 40 years old. Stop it. So, but that said, I think a leader in the clubhouse is most important. I don't know which of these guys is that. I know I've met Kevin Long personally, and I like him a whole lot. He seems like just a chill guy that people really like, so I get that impression from him. As a fan of his as a player, I like Robin Ventura, but that's no reason to make him a manager. The same reason that, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, David Wright should retire and manage. It's like, well, that might be fun, but who knows if he's a good manager or not? It's a completely separate skill. So, it's hard to say.
He's not going to give us a name. No pick. No choice.
No. Right. So I said, you know, if I've got a pick right now, I guess Kevin Long over Ventura. But
okay, fair enough. Matt?
Your choice? I'm leaning towards Alex Cora. I just feel like, you know, all things considered, you know, I like that he's bilingual. I like that he's played in the market. He's played with the Red Sox, played with the Mets. He knows, you know, postseason. He knows all that kind of stuff. He's you know, I've talked to enough people at this point about him around baseball. I have yet to talk with anybody, player, former player, coach, whatever, player development, front office people that don't just rave about how smart he is and how strategically he thinks. And he, you know, he thinks like a middle infielder. You know, he understands, you know, he's a good leader. He communicates well. Like, it just, everything sounds to me like what Alderson has described as being what he's looking for. You know, and so, like, I just, in terms of fit with Sandy, he makes sense. And then I also just like what I'm hearing about him, you know, from what I remember too, when he's with the Mets, everybody talked about how he was going to be a coach one day or a manager. It just, I don't know. I think he's a good fit. I know that he got along with David Wright. They were, sorry, my windows are open. Sorry about the motorcycle go by. You know, they were close. They, you know, I just think he's going to have that kind of support. I think he makes sense. Ausmus, I kind of like what I'm hearing with him too. But I just don't see how he doesn't end up with the Red Sox. It's just, it makes so much sense. It's ridiculous.
What about John Farrell?
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people want John Farrell.
Girardi's the wild card, because we talked about that the other week. And, like, my understanding is if the Yankees, even if the Yankees want him back, he's still going to check in with the Mets and the Red Sox just to, you know, what are you doing? What's your plans? What do you, you know, what do you got? Because I think Girardi, not that he's done with the Yankees, but, you know, that's a crazy gig too.
There's nothing that Yankee fans would like more than their manager seeing whether or not he should manage the Mets and the Red Sox.
Well, hey. They put themselves in the spot. The Yankee fans are the ones who hate Girardi the most, it seems, and it's ridiculous. The guy has not only achieved and accomplished so many incredible things with the team, including winning World Series, but taking this team specifically to the postseason and guiding them along the way when they had very low expectations, even though, you know, obviously it has a lot more to do with the players actually performing on the field. Still, I think he's a great presence. And I'm with Matt on this one. You know, I was so disappointed last night just because the Indians lost. But then I thought about it later and I thought, gosh, you know, I'm also disappointed because now the chances that Girardi actually leaves the Yankees are almost zero, because now you almost can't justify firing him. So unless he leaves on his own accord because he's so upset at the reaction from his blunder from not reviewing, going to review on that play on the hit by pitch, that, I mean, and I can't imagine he wants to leave, you know, everything behind just because of that. Certainly not to go to a team across town. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. But I think he would be the perfect fit. Oh my goodness, he'd be the perfect fit for this team.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know that I don't think it's a shoo-in that he doesn't leave. I really don't. I'm not convinced of him. I just, again, talking with people, you know, in the city, that, you know, are familiar with some of this stuff. Like, the impression I get is that I think he, first of all, he loves the National League. And I think he would welcome a different environment. I think working with the Yankees is a little stressful, which is not to say it isn't with the Mets, but I don't know. I get the impression maybe he wants something different. We'll see.
Go
ahead, Steve.
I was saying, what if he just really loves the strategy of the double switch?
Yeah.
Well, I think the managers actually, there is something to that. I know you're kidding when you say that, but real managing is in the National League. And I think any manager will tell you that there's so much more strategy in managing in the National League because of the pitcher hitting and because of double switches and figuring out when you need to make player changes in your lineup and such because the pitcher is involved. I think maybe there is something to that.
It's always so funny to me.
You know, like I said, I think he's the number one candidate in my eyes. And I think Sandy Alderson would love to have him. The question is, do the Mets want to spend what it would take to lure Girardi? I think it would cost a lot.
It's always been so funny to me when I see an American League manager in an interleague game just completely botch a double switch. And I'm just like, how? It's the guy who was up last. Replace the position with the, what are you doing? It's so simple. I learned this when I was eight.
Having watched a National League manager botch the double switch multiple times in the last few years, I would say it's equally frustrating in that way, too.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, we need to move on. So we'll see what the Mets do as far as manager goes. And maybe because the Red Sox gig opened up, it'll make them speed things along a little bit more than they would have otherwise. So maybe we get some resolution to this soon. The other big news of this week, I guess it was this week, right, when the announcement was made on the Mets leaving Las Vegas, the Mets went out and made a very bold and strategically fantastic move in my eyes. They couldn't find a home for a AAA team anywhere near the East Coast for how long has it been now? 8, 9 years, something like that they've been in Las Vegas. So finally, the ownership group had this opportunity to go out and purchase their own AAA franchise, and they did it. They bought the Syracuse franchise in AAA, and now they can move their AAA team to Syracuse, and nobody can kick them out. So essentially what happens with these minor league teams is, if they don't own the franchise themselves, which the Mets now do, they have to sign contracts, their player development contracts, with these organizations, basically entitles them to send their players there on a given year. And usually they're 2 or 3 year contracts, I believe, at a time. And so after those 2 or 3 years expire, if that AAA team would prefer to have a different major league franchise come in, they can do it. They can just switch. Hey, your contract's up. We're bringing in X team because their contract is up in their city. So now they're with us. The Mets now have control of their AAA franchise. Matt, I think this is the best thing that they could have done in terms of player development, in terms of helping their big league team with getting guys to be able to come to New York City a lot quicker. It's just huge for them.
It is a big deal. I mean, it really is a big deal. I did a post recently just kind of going into the specifics, which, you know, is the field and the environment of playing at Cashman Field in Vegas, number one. Two, just the time difference in terms of travel when you're trying to call somebody up and make that maneuver. And three, like you said, the control, really, of the organization. And, you know, that's a big deal. It's close. It's nearby. You're part of the market. I mean, it's Syracuse. It's not like it's, you know, Brooklyn, but it's still, you know, in the area, it's still local to an extent. So, I mean, I think all that stuff is important. You know, it's a big deal. I mean, it really is. Now, there are benefits to being in Vegas. You know, Frank Viola, who I know you know, he'll tell you that it helps sort of drill home the idea that you got to throw strikes, and it actually helps pitchers become more willing to listen and learn because they realize they have to. And because they're not getting as much spin and rotation and all those kind of things. It's very nuanced, but it's important. At the same time, batters, you know, rock the ball, and it's difficult to kind of gauge what's what and the adjustments that they have to make. Now, when they get to the big leagues and they're seeing better pitching, it's a disadvantage. It's not, you know, it may not impact the Noah Syndergaards of the world that much, but, you know, it does have an impact overall on your system when that's sort of the end point. And I think moving them to Syracuse is just, it's a big deal, especially, as you mentioned, with the Nationals. You know, the fact absolutely. That the Nationals could end up in Vegas, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's the interesting part of this. And Steve, I think that's kind of the funny part of this is that the Nationals are scheduled to be in Syracuse one more year. We'll see if that winds up playing out, and the Mets would stay in Las Vegas for next season before they would move to Syracuse. But even then, at that point, where do the Nationals go? Maybe they do wind up in Vegas. And for that 1 year period where they may stay in Syracuse and the Mets actually own that team, I think that's hilarious that the Mets have control over the Nationals' AAA franchise.
Baseball is so silly sometimes. I think the idea that, you know, I mean, growing up for me, it was always the Tidewater Tides, the Tidewater Tides, the Tidewater Tides. Yeah. That was what I knew. And I didn't even know, you know, when you're a kid, you don't even realize that, like, suddenly it can be a different minor league team. Like, I mean, it could be a different affiliation. And it's so strange to do that because you basically, you know, you're basically training everyone in that region to be Mets fans. And then suddenly the Mets are in New Orleans, or I think that's where we went right after, right? And then Vegas.
They went to Buffalo at some point. I think it might have been Buffalo first, then New Orleans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Buffalo makes sense.
No, New Orleans, Buffalo, yeah, Vegas.
Is that what it was? Okay, there you go.
So the idea, I mean, Vegas for a New York team, it was a horrible idea. Not only is the travel time so long, but the time difference, I mean, like we're talking about, you cannot call someone up in the same day. It's impossible. If you knew you were going to New York at 6 in the morning, you know, even on a private plane, you're not getting there in time for the game to be loose and to be ready. So it's just the whole thing was a very, very poor mismatch. And as someone who lives in LA and performs in Vegas a ton, it's unfortunate on a selfish level that I don't get to see the Mets there anymore. But, you know, I am perfectly fine with them being in Syracuse. I think that's a wonderful idea. And, you know, especially now, AA in Binghamton and AAA in Syracuse, that's a pretty easy drive for someone getting called up from AA to AAA.
At least they wound up in the one spot in the Pacific Coast League where they could get some direct flights to New York, because you could have wound up in like Colorado Springs or Albuquerque, and then your players are connecting three or four times. So at least they had that going for them.
The example I wrote about, and this is a good, I love this example. So when Harvey got suspended, if you remember, they called on Adam Wilk, and they were in New Mexico at the time, and Wilk had to get on a plane. I believe it was a Saturday night. He took a red eye, you know, hadn't warmed up, wasn't preparing for a start by any means. So now he's a AAA pitcher. He's been throwing in Vegas where, you have no spin, you have no rotation. He's an okay pitcher to begin with. And, you know, so now your mechanics and your delivery are probably up. He's asked to get on a red eye, get into New York super early, get to Citi Field, make his, debut at the Mets in place of Harvey for a 1 o'clock start. And he lets up 3 runs in the first inning, 5 runs within 3 innings. He's out of the game.
And it was his best start all season.
Right. Everybody's on his case. And if you think about it, that's actually probably a pretty good start given the context of that situation. And it's essentially the Mets go into that knowing, you know, we're going to lose this game as a front office. And that sucks to be in that position. Like, they should not be in a position where the best option is a kid on a red eye that's going to get torched.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Steve, if the Nationals stay in Syracuse one more year under Mets ownership, do the Mets pull any pranks on them?
I mean, you know, you could go with the classic sex toy in the locker prank. I think that's, you know, that's certainly something that's been done before.
How about like we ran out of balls, or the showers aren't working. Like, we turn off the water.
It would be the repercussions of that. I don't think it would be taken in good fun, especially because the power dynamic of them owning it. So unfortunately, I don't see that actually happening, but it is fun. It is fun to think about the idea of, like, they show up for a game and all the uniforms are missing. You know, maybe they show up for a game and it's all Expos uniforms.
Yeah. Or something like that. Yeah, I think that could be a lot of fun.
Could put the full Durham, flood the field, you know, when a top prospect is starting. And I mean, and it's funny, we're joking about it, but it's actually a legit concern from what I understand from baseball. Like, Major League Baseball, it's like a sort of an unprecedented thing where two rivals in a division that are going to contend at the same time, hopefully, you know, are in this situation. So, like, I think they're also uncomfortable with it. And I think it's a bigger conversation than just, you know, well, we probably shouldn't do this. Like, it's, if you think about it, if for some reason an incident, like, I'm a Jets fan. So I go back to the whole, you know, Don Shula, Jets early 80s flood the field bit. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that, like, it's a little uncomfortable. Like, you can manipulate and tinker with stuff. And, like, if God forbid something happens, like, you don't want to have to look back on it and have these sort of accusations and weirdness. So, like, I think baseball kind of doesn't want this. So we'll see what happens.
In all seriousness, the only way it makes any sense in the world for the Nationals to actually stay there this year and for the Mets to stay in Vegas this year is if the Nationals are waiting or have to wait one more season to find a new home. Like, they have something lined up that they prefer as far as AAA next year, and they just have to wait one more year. That's the only way it makes sense. Otherwise, you might as well just make the switch now, put them in Vegas and send the Mets to Syracuse. It makes all the sense in the world to do that. So we'll see what baseball does. All right, so that's Las Vegas for you. Playoffs. I watched all of the Yankee-Indian game last night. I'm guessing you guys did as well. I'm not a Yankee hater, so I don't really care that they won the game. I mean, I would have been okay, I guess, with either team, but I really wanted to see Cleveland win just for the city of Cleveland, and it's been so many years since they had done it. Jay Bruce is now out of it, which didn't matter to me at all. Steve cared a little bit about that. So, Steve, your dog in the fight was not just the Indians, but you also had Addison Reed because you love Addison Reed. I know you have a poster of him on your wall. So Red Sox are gone too. So who are you rooting for now?
I was rooting for Cleveland also because it's just this city has gone so long without a championship. Yeah. And so for me, I like parity. I like the idea that everyone gets a shot at it. And so in a championship series that should have featured, you realize it would have been the Indians who've gone the longest, the Astros, the Nationals who haven't won, and the Dodgers who have gone since 88. That would have been amazing. If the Yankees win this whole thing now, what a crock. So I think I'm rooting for whoever they're playing. But I guess the Astros, I mean, they're a young, fun team, and you know, they're interesting to watch. Their fan base has suffered a great deal. Houston has certainly suffered a lot this year. So I'd like to see the Astros do this now.
Fair enough. The Astros do not have a championship, right?
Nope.
So that'd be cool to see. Matt, who are you rooting for? Your dog was the Dodgers, right?
Well, I was rooting for – when we talked about this, we were talking about former
players.
And so I was rooting for Granderson more than, you know, the teams.
Yeah.
Given the teams involved, at this point, I would root for the Astros, no question, because, you know, I think – and I was thinking about this coming into the podcast, and I feel like I always sort of just go with the underdog – number one. And really, I always root for the National League. I still think of the Astros as a National League team, obviously, even though they're not. But, you know, just when I see that logo, I think 86 playoffs. And I mean, Mike Scott, like, I think National League. So, they haven't won. So, like, to me, it's an underdog. And I love the story. You know, they rebuilt, they really stripped down, they redid everything, they rebuilt the franchise. Like, they've done it the right way. Their players are fun. Like, it's just a good story. I dig it. The Cubs, you know, no way. The Nationals, no way. I don't mind the Yankees as a franchise is fine, but like Yankee fans, I can't stand. I live with one. I'm married to one. I'm surrounded by him. I'm tired of listening to
him. Can't stand your wife? Is that what you're saying?
When it comes to baseball, she left this house today wearing her Aaron Judge jersey and talking. You know, I'm telling you, she's no joke. You know, it's a so I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Did she also strike out four times?
I'm fortunate enough to not have to live near Yankee fans anymore. So I don't really experience what you do. I have such an appreciation for what the Yankees have been able to do in terms of this rebuild, if you want to call it that, turning around so quickly, and the great job that Brian Cashman has done of rebuilding this team. Obviously, the young guys have been a big part of this. Gary Sanchez is a stud. Aaron Judge, what a year he had. But it's not just that. It's what what Cashman was able to do in going out and getting Chapman back, in making the trade with the White Sox this year to get Frazier and Canely and Robertson. What a deal that was. I mean, it's like he stole all these players. Aaron Hicks, who has become a stud, who he got for nothing. Didi Gregorius, the hero last night, who he got for nothing. I think it's just incredible general manager work. And I'm just so impressed by it.
To get to my Yankee point about Yankee fans, we were talking yesterday on the phone. Tell me why you don't want the Dodgers to win.
Well, I mean, look, when you live in a market and certain
right.
fans are constantly rooting for their
exactly.
team. And yeah, right. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, so you start to dislike it. So I understand where
for
you're
people listening, Rob and Steve live in L.A., so you're surrounded by Dodger fans. And, like, if the Mets lose, like, the Mets aren't going to be winning and the Dodgers are winning, now you got to hear from Dodger fans. And that's not like those two teams don't have a history, by the way. So, like, I don't know. That would suck, too. Like, if I was out there, I wouldn't want to hear from Dodger fans. I think I'd prefer the Yankees win. But here, let me tell you, I don't want the Yankees anywhere near that World Series.
I got to say, though, what an exciting World Series it would be if it was Yankees-Dodgers.
Ugh.
I mean, I would not be happy personally, but I don't think any of us would be.
No.
But when you think from a historical perspective, when you think of a, you know, New York versus LA, I mean, that is, you got to admit, that is a pretty sexy matchup.
It
All right, Steve, if it was Yankees Nationals, who would you root for, Steve?
Nationals in a heartbeat.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm shocked to hear that.
No, there's no, I mean, there's no reason to be shocked. Couple things. First of all, I've gotten to know Dusty Baker, and I like him a lot. He's a great dude. And, you know, and I hate that people think he's a bad manager, because he's not. And if you actually look at the teams he's performed with and what he's done with them, he's a fine manager. So there's that. But also, just again, the fan base. You know, when you think about it, like the Yankees, look, I mean, all of the jerks would have to update their bragging from 27 to 28. It would just be, you know, all their stupid bumper stickers as if they had any part of any of those championships.
For most of them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. I mean, I remember when I, in 96, I remember there was a freshman in my high school who was going around, dude, we've been waiting for this for 15 years. And I look at him and I go, you're 14. Shut up.
Right.
It's insufferable. Yeah. But also, like, DC hasn't even made, okay, any of the four teams in DC haven't even made a conference finals in, what's it, 20 years? So,
Well, the Redskins won in what, 90? Was it, what year was it? 91, Doug Williams? I forgot.
Yeah, so, like I mean, DC, because the Phillies won a couple of series, DC became the longest-suffering sports city. And I understand that none of us are Nationals fans, and we're all, you know, they're the rival right now, et cetera. To me, the Braves will always be the rival, even if they suck. And I, you know, I'm perfectly fine with the city of DC having something to celebrate. I'm okay with it.
All right, Matt, who would you pick if it was Nationals and the Yankees?
Well, I've been through this here in this area, which was when in 2009 when the Yankees played the Phillies. It was almost the exact same conversation and feeling. And, you know, I went into that personally saying, I think in my heart, I knew that I preferred the Phillies to win, but I just couldn't say it out loud, given 07, 08. And then sure enough, while watching that World Series and seeing it and seeing the fans and being surrounded by Yankee fans, I ultimately was like, yeah, I mean, the Phillies need to win this. It stinks. It's going to, you know, it hurts, but like, I just can't listen to the Yankees again. And I feel like I'm in the same boat now. Like I know that I shouldn't be rooting for the Nationals. It's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But I know when I'm in the middle of it and these two teams are on the field watching it, and my wife is clapping and all my buddies are on my case about the Mets not being good, I'm going to say, you know what, fine, let the Nationals win. I hope they win. And whatever, you know, and then the silver line, maybe the Nationals finally win and then it's downhill. I don't know. Like, they're not going to be a dynasty. So
also, I mean, it allows us to very easily root against them in the future. It's like, sure. Look, you already got yours. Shut up.
Okay. Before we wrap up, my answer on this one, guys, is I hope the Nationals don't even win this series against the Cubs, because I like when things drag out. Like, I liked when the Cubs hadn't won in 108 years because it was good. Every year you'd go into a season and you'd say, I wonder if they're going to win this year. It's kind of like what the Indians are becoming now. I wonder if the Indians are ever going to win one. I think that's kind of cool. It's always like a built-in storyline for a season. Well, the Nationals' built-in storyline is, will they ever even win a playoff series? And I want to keep it that way, that they're always guessing, will they actually win one? Although, congrats to them that they keep getting there, and the Mets, for some reason, can't find a way to do that. All right, that'll do it for us. You can find us on the SNY.TV Mets podcast feed. Search for SNY Mets in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. For Steve and Matt, I'm Rob. We'll see you next week.